Hello, welcome to the 16th episode of the Cosmetic Course podcast. My name's Aidan Richards, and today I'm going to be talking to Ron Myers of the Consulting Rooms about the various organisations you can join to help you with your ongoing education in the cosmetic industry in the UK. So I'm here today with Ron from the Consulting Room, and we're going to be talking today about the whole myriad of societies and organisations you can join. So thanks very much for coming on the podcast today, Ron.
Hi, Adrian, no problems.
Now, tell me about this new society, the Society of Cosmetic Physicians and Surgeons.
Yes, this has just been recently launched, and it's yet another society that people who are working in the cosmetic arena can join. It seems as though this is a society that's more open to different specialities, from the doctor sort of side of things, whether you're a doctor of a various speciality or a surgeon from a different speciality as well, but who's predominantly involved in delivering cosmetic surgery or medical aesthetic treatments. And I think, like a number of these societies, they aim to be a forum both for training, potentially education as well, and usually as well some sort of focal point or forum for dissemination of information to the public as well, to try and attract people into members within that organisation.
So
that's more for commercial reasons, of course.
Yeah. Is this SCPS, is it just for doctors or is it for nurses and dentists?
As far as I'm aware, it's predominantly aimed really at physicians and surgeons rather than nurses. I'm not entirely sure about dentists, but again, there are a number of different dental organisations as well out there that dentists may sort of preferentially join. So you've got the British Academy of Cosmetic Dentistry, which is, funny enough, the same as the BACD, which is the same as the British Academy Association of Cosmetic Doctors, of course, as well.
Yeah.
But the British Academy of Cosmetic Dentistry, which is BACD.com, is predominantly a group of dental professionals who are involved in cosmetic dentistry, which includes teeth whitening, veneers, and dental implants, that kind of stuff. There's also the British Academy of Aesthetic Dentistry, which is baad.org.uk, which is a similar type of organisation. I'm not really sure what the differences are between them. And latterly, as well, over the last few years, there's an association that is predominantly dental-led that's called the Association for Facial Aesthetics, or code AFA. And that is theface.co.uk. And if you look at the board members, they are predominantly dentists, although there are some physicians on there as well, and I think a few surgeons. And again, that's an association that is looking to promote its members directly to the general public, as well as provide a forum for, I think, training as well. They advertise a number of training courses on there.
Yeah. So I always think it's a bit like sort of boxing, you know, with all these different belts you can get. You know, there's an awful lot of organisations, aren't there?
Well, there are, and I think people will affiliate with them for different reasons. It'll either be because they strongly associate with their particular specialty, that they're in, you know, their particular medical background, whether they're a nurse or a general practitioner from a background perspective or a plastic surgeon, of course. Or it may be they've just got a broader kind of interest that are looking more for an association that pulls together different specialities, but who are involved in delivering the type of treatments or running the type of business that they are. And that there's another association called IAFA, which is an association, it's the International Academy for Facial Aesthetics. And that's an association that was brought together actually predominantly by a dentist, but does include plastic surgeons, general practitioners, and other people, including nurses as well, operating predominantly in the medical aesthetic arena. And they have annual conferences, and also they do promote and advertise training courses as well.
Okay. So if we just sort of run through. So if you, say, a doctor and you starting in cosmetic industry or are in it already, what are your choices, Ron?
Well, I would say probably the largest group for I would say a doctor who's coming from a general practice background will be the British Association of Cosmetic Doctors. That's been running now for, I think, a good 6 or 7 years, has over 350 members. They have regular meetings, annual meetings that run, I think, 3 times a year, and they also have regional meetings as well now. So it does provide a good forum for discussion of treatments, discussion around marketing and running a medical aesthetic clinic, as well as a public forum for its members as well. So they have a website, and it's cosmeticdoctors.co.uk, that has information on for consumers and obviously a member directory as well. So as part of the membership, hopefully you're going to be getting referrals as well, potentially from that website.
Yes, I think that's the longest established and probably the best known. So that's probably the first one to join.
I would say so, yes. And possibly, IAFA may be another one that people may consider joining, that's a little bit broader in terms of having different specialities. Although, to tell you the truth, because it was set up predominantly by a dentist, I think the vast majority of members are dentists who are involved in injectable treatments.
And is it international, Ron?
Yes, I mean, I think they have some other members as well from other countries. But like any of these organisations, it comes down to obviously making them visible and giving people good reasons to pay money, because all of these are going to want a membership fee for you to join and what you feel you're actually going to get out of that as a benefit.
Okay, and then this new one, how would you recommend that people investigate it or assess it?
I would say that the Society for Cosmetic Physicians and Surgeons is probably going to be a little bit more selective. So I would say they're really looking at putting together people who are, I think, a little more experienced, and maybe who have more to contribute from a point of view of that experience to the members' meetings that they're going to be organising throughout the UK. So all of these have slightly different sort of aspects and elements to them. Some of them have restrictions in terms of what type of member you can be, and I think the BACD do now as well. You can be an associate member or full member, and that does depend on completing certain training modules. And I know eventually as well they're looking at potentially a diploma as well for aesthetic medicine.
Okay.
So some of these memberships, like the BACD, have gone forward and really looked at trying to solidify better educational qualifications, I think, that relate to running a cosmetic business rather than individual training courses that people may or may not, attend, whether they're run from a commercial perspective or whether they're run from a supplier perspective, or provide some form of certification of competence or attendance, really.
Great. Just from a plastic surgical point of view, some of the listeners may not have heard of the plastic surgical organisations. There's two main ones in the UK. There's BAPRAS, which used to be called BAPS. So it used to be called the British Association of Plastic Surgeons. Now it's BAPRAS, the British Association of Plastic and Reconstructive Surgeons. And that's basically an organisation for all plastic surgeons in the United Kingdom. They'd be burn specialists or, cleft lip specialists. And then the cosmetic one is called BARPS. That's BAAPS, the British Association of Aesthetic Plastic Surgeons. It's a bit of an unfortunate name, considering what it does, but that you have to really specifically apply for that. You have to really be focusing on cosmetic practices. There's about 200 members, and they have to submit their figures for regular audit. So I hope that sort of clarified it. BAPRAS for general plastic surgeons and BARPS, BAAPS, for plastic surgeons, specifically who focus on cosmetics.
And certainly BARPS are very visible from a press perspective as well. I know they have a PR company that is very active, and they're, I think, certainly the voice about quality and concern about standards within the cosmetic surgery arena and non-surgical arena as well.
Yeah, so they're probably more high profile than BAPRAS.
Oh, I would say in the cosmetic surgery arena, without a shadow of a doubt.
Yeah, okay.
And then you've got nurse organisations as well. And of course, there are a lot of nurses involved specifically in injectable treatments in the UK. And Initially, they had a forum that was within the RCN, the Royal College of Nursing, that unfortunately, I think, has been amalgamated now into a larger forum. So they've lost the sort of their focus and status within the RCN, which means that they've now formed a separate organisation called the British Association of Cosmetic Nurses. And in fact, they only had their first annual conference literally last month, and that's cosmeticnurses.org. So that's certainly an association that aesthetic nurse practitioners can join. There's also PIAPA, which is PIAPA.org, and that's the Private Independent Aesthetic Practices Association. Predominantly, really, I think, a northern group of aesthetic nurses, but who have been operating as a group for the last sort of 5 or 6 years. And there's a lesser known organisation called the British Association of Aesthetic Nurses, which is baan.org.uk, which nurses may also want to look at.
Okay, so that's good advice. I mean, if any of the listeners are, you know, looking at all these various groups, you know, can you give me just a few things you think they should be, using to assess the pros and cons of each?
Well, I think ultimately, as I said, people would join for different reasons. It may be from a networking perspective. It could be from a training and learning perspective. So they're looking for some form of solid either training links or good education from meetings, or maybe even, you know, diplomas that are organised as part and parcel of the membership that you can get access to. It could be that people are looking more for visibility from a consumer perspective, so they could be looking at joining a membership that has a very good public forum and is in the press and media a lot and has an optimized website that bring a lot of people who are searching for the particular treatments that they offer into that website and into the directory that actually then leads into their details in their area. And in fact, in some ways, I guess the consulting room, which we operate, is one of those as well. I mean, we have a membership database. It's very much public facing, and our members get referrals off that. But also, we've got a very strong information component to it as well, with a newsletter and with all sorts of information contained in the clinic area. So it does depend on what you're really looking for. There are other associations as well that revolve around specialities in terms of treatments or procedures, and some people may think about joining those. So there's, for instance, the British Association of Sclerotherapists. So if you're very interested in that, it's an area that you want to promote a lot, learn more about, and really major on in your practice, then that could be an organisation that you might want to join, and that's bassclerotherapy.com.
Are there any for laser, focusing on that?
Yes, the British Medical Laser Association, which is BMLA, and that's bmla.co.uk. They have annual meetings, and that is an organisation that revolves around lasers that could be used both from a medical perspective as well as a cosmetic perspective as well. So you do have quite a mixed group of people who use lasers, who do attend that meeting. It's just not people. It's not just people who are dealing, for instance, with hair removal and tread veins and pigmentation problems.
Okay.
It could be people using them from an endovenous perspective, or for, you know, as cutting tools from a surgical perspective, or whatever. So that's another association that I know some laser clinics particularly are members of. And there's a new one that's just been launched as well, called the Association of Advanced Laser Body Sculpture, which is AALBS.com. And that's predominantly really for people who are involved in laser lipolysis and I think want to join other members that really focus on that tool as a body sculpting treatment.
So brilliant. So lots and lots there. If you joined everyone, you'd be at meetings every weekend, wouldn't you?
Well, you would, wouldn't you? Yeah. Again, I mean, all of these will cost normally ranging from sort of a couple of hundred quid to maybe sort of 400. So they're all in that range. So they're not vastly expensive, but of course, you know, they do add up the more you join. So I think you do have to look and see, you know, what you're getting out of them, and also really, as you say, whether you've got the time to really make the best use of that membership.
Yeah. So what I'd probably advise people to do is maybe think about joining one or two, the main ones in your industry, and really look for the three things, which are education, you know, what sort of education do they offer, networking, you know, who else is in the group, and also, you know, do they offer you a possible referrals via their network?
Absolutely. Are they sort of public-facing, and do they bring in consumers who are looking for those treatments that you offer?
Yeah. Now, Ron, just another thing I'd like to discuss with you really regarding networking. This is online networking. I know you're quite prominent on LinkedIn. Can you tell me a little bit about the website and how you use it?
I think LinkedIn is very useful for, from a business-to-business perspective, for professionals working within a particular industry or allied industries to try and pull together a network of people who they can communicate with. I don't think it's useful from a consumer perspective. So in other words, if you're a doctor running a clinic and you're looking using LinkedIn to generate lots of contacts from a consumer perspective, I think things like Facebook are better for that.
Yeah.
But I think certainly in terms of communicating with industry professionals, suppliers, sometimes people you may find it more difficult to access in larger corporations, that you might be able to get a direct contact point in through LinkedIn. Can be very useful from that perspective, depending on, you know, what your aims are and what you're trying to do. So say, for instance, if you want to be involved in more clinical trial work, it could be that using LinkedIn to try and make your service visible to companies that are doing research in aesthetic treatments, you know, can be very useful from that perspective.
Yeah, so it's almost like a sort of Facebook for business people, isn't it, and for businesses?
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. And it is something where, again, you can post discussions on there as well, and invite people who you're linked into to comment on that. So you can use it as a forum for debate, as well as a place where you can search for people who you feel may be useful, for your business.
Yeah.
How do you use it, Adrian, at the moment?
Well, I've just noticed a lot more people in the aesthetics industry are talking about it now, where perhaps they weren't a year ago. I mean, I've registered with it some time ago, but I've been paying a bit more interest to it recently in that I've joined a couple of groups. I know tell us about some of the groups you belong to on LinkedIn, Ron.
I can't remember the actual acronym or name for the group, but there is an aesthetic focus group on there, which I'm a member of. And again, you do then get, I think the more people that are involved in that group, and if you comment on there as well, and also raise debate within that group, then that raises your profile as well, and also can provide a forum for, maybe finding answers to some questions that you have, either about treatments, products, or other issues that are affecting your business.
Yeah. So what I'd suggest listeners do if they're new to LinkedIn is go and have a look at it, register, put your profile on, and then just have a look round and, look for groups that are discussing plastic surgery or aesthetic surgery in the UK. See what's going on, and then, when you feel confident, perhaps you might, feel happy to add something to it.
Absolutely, yeah. I think that will grow. I think I agree with you there in terms of usefulness as a business tool.
Yeah, so it's a free service. Get your profile out there. And
I like free.
Free is always good. And it's a good way of online networking, really.
It is. It is. And I think I think it's much better than Facebook, which people may think of as more of a kind of a networking site. Which it is, and it's useful certainly from a point of view of interfacing potentially with consumers, if you can use it properly and how to use it properly. But I think from a business perspective, you're right, LinkedIn is much more focused. And I think it, also because business people are using it more in the day as well as a tool for their work rather than as a social tool, I think you're probably going to get better responses from that and better use out of that. And if your time taken to, as you say, put your information on there and start to interact with some of the groups, than you would do through Facebook.
Yeah, I agree. So Facebook, we could talk about in another episode. It's probably good for, you know, patients, talking about you, talking about your products, those sort of things. But really, yeah. Talking to the other people in the industry, really, I think LinkedIn is probably the way.
I would definitely agree.
Brilliant. Well, thank you very much for joining us today, Ron. And
well, thank you, Adrian.
Is life going generally well for you in the consulting room?
Yes, yeah, absolutely. I'm just busy at the moment, really, with the body conference, which is coming up in November.
Yeah.
And that's another conference that's aimed at, well, specifically really body aesthetic treatments. But we've got some very, very good speakers on there this year, and some I'm sure you'll know, people like Professor Marco Gasparotti.
Oh, yes, yeah.
From Italy, who's got a long sort of pedigree in terms of research in liposuction, and Alfredo Hoyos from Colombia, who has done a lot with high-def liposuction and liposelection, and Stephen Mulholland from Canada, who's done a lot with RFAL as well. So this is radio frequency assisted liposuction, which some people believe may be the kind of, you know, the new kid on the block in terms of being a better procedure for liposuction, because not only are you getting reduction of fat, but also, allegedly anyway, a good degree of skin tightening associated with the delivery of radio frequency energy as well.
Yeah, and I hear he's a great speaker, Stephen Mulholland.
He's very good, actually, and he's been very successful over in Canada, involved in a number of different sort of business projects out there. And in fact, actually, on the Saturday evening of the 6th, he's actually doing an hour and a half. It's called an evening with Stephen Mulholland, where he's going to be talking about sort of various business tips from a point of view of setting up and running a successful cosmetic practice, which I think is good value as well as part of the overall conference.
Right. And could you remind me of the dates again, Ron?
Yeah, it's the weekend of the 6th and 7th of November, and it's held at the Royal Society of Medicine in London. So it's a very central venue just at the bottom of Harley Street.
Brilliant. Well, I mean, that sounds grand. I mean, if it's anything like the FACE conference, it will be a great success.
Yeah, I mean, if people are interested, it's bodyconference.co.uk. All the information is on there, all the speakers in the agenda, and people can register directly off the site.
Brilliant. I don't think people realise how much work there is in setting up a conference, do they?
I only did once I got involved in it, actually. And conference organisation, I think it's all the nitty-gritty stuff, really, that counts in terms of making it sort of a smooth event as well, and making sure that all the people are there with, you know, all the presenters are there, you've got all the presentations in the right format, which is actually technically a challenge now as well.
Yeah, with videos.
People with Macs and different versions of PowerPoint, etc. But overall, I think once you've done it once, it's just attention to detail.
Well, the best of luck.
Thank you.
I'm sure it'll be brilliant. Again, Ron, thanks very much for joining us, and we'll talk again soon.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye.
So thanks again for listening to the podcast, and a big thank you to Ron for sharing his thoughts with us today. As I've mentioned previously, we're going to be producing regular podcasts with Ron on clinical and non-clinical issues. And if you've got any feedback about the podcast, please email us at info@cosmeticcourses.co.uk. You may also want to have a look through our new academy, which is on cosmetic-courses.co.uk, which has got lots of training material and videos on it. So again, what we're aiming to do is sort of update you on what's happening in the industry. Any feedback or any questions would be gratefully received, and we'd be happy to answer them in a future episode of the podcasts. So again, thanks for listening, and until next time, I hope all goes well.